turn with me to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. We'll consider that tenth verse in the second chapter. Where it says, "And ye are complete ye are complete in Him." Nothing more is needed. You are complete in Him. All that's needful and necessary in spiritual things. Complete in Him, in the Lord Jesus. Over here, just turn back a page now to the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Paul says here in this 12th verse of the first chapter, he's speaking to the saints and the faithful in Christ. He says, "Who hath delivered us?" Now, in verses 2 of that same chapter, chapter 1, it says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Then back over to that 13th verse, or 12th verse. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us," Paul includes himself, "with the saints and faithful brethren in Christ." We give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us? It's not something that He will do. It's not something that He hath promised will come to pass under certain conditions and circumstances. But it's in past tense. Who hath delivered us? He's already delivered us. Delivered us, the saints, and faithful brethren in Christ. He did that 2,000 years ago when Christ died and was raised from the dead. He sealed our pardon with His own blood. God was satisfied with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of His people. Satisfied God. And there was a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was satisfied. The debt was fully paid. All that His people owed, all that was demanded, all the requirements of God's holy and just law was met. And the salvation of His people was complete. He hath delivered us, he said, from the power of darkness, verse 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We have it. We have redemption in his Son. Not we hope to have it. We hope that things will work out and will be accepted by God. We are already accepted. We have already been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God can only forgive sins when the debt is paid. And now he talks about who this is, the Lord Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, seen and not seen. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now, to that ninth verse of the second chapter. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Now I think the apostle here has one aim or object in mind when he writes and makes this statement in the 10th verse, these words, and ye are complete in him. He has one object in mind. His aim, his intention, his desire is to bring every believer to this one point. And if a believer, well, he will be brought to this point sooner or later, if he be a believer. But he aims to bring this believer to this one truth, this one point, that he might be happy and made to rejoice in one Savior That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily, as in Christ we are complete in Him. So His object, His aim, His desire is to bring us to a knowledge of that, to a knowledge of this truth that we are complete in Him. How we labor and toil from day to day for a want of clearly seeing and simply believing this blessed truth. Ye are complete in Him. Nothing lacking. You're complete in Him. Complete in Him. It's like I one time was at a meeting, a religious meeting, and there was a lot of singing and shouting, and everybody was revved up, and they called for testimonies, and several got up and gave their testimony concerning their experience. It has to do with their profession. And some made long comments, told of their experiences, others didn't. And finally one little boy about 10 or 12, 13 years old stood up. And this is what he said. He said, I'm prayed up, I'm packed up, and I'm ready to go. Now, I don't know how true that was, but it sounded awful good to me. I think that what he was trying to say, I'm complete in Him. I enjoy the salvation of God because I'm complete in Him. There's nothing that I can add to it, and there's nothing that no one can take from it. I'm prayed up, I'm packed up, I'm ready to go. I'm complete in Him. But many, as I've already said, labor and toil from the coming up of the sun to the going down of the sun for want of clearly having an understanding of being complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here does not exhort by saying, be ye complete in Christ. We labor and toil and work and pray most of the time, most of us, trying to do something to add to that which cannot be added to. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. A full atonement has He made on our behalf. He does not exhort, be ye complete in Him, but confirms and affirms that ye are complete in Him. If we could clearly see that, understand that, and know that, we would rejoice more than we do. We would enjoy the salvation of God that we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someplace in here, I read, while I was thinking about this, in this 28th verse of the first chapter, Paul said in this 28th verse, he said he was a minister of the gospel, and he mentions even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, he said, is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all that is connected with, ye are complete in him. That's a mystery. How can I be complete in another? Only if a man, if God become a man and virtually join himself to me, to my humanity, can I have this completeness. And Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, every believer, perfect in Christ. And that's Paul's aim, and Paul's desire and object is that all who believe in Christ might know that they are perfect in Christ and complete in Christ and cannot add anything to what Christ has did in their behalf. Ye are complete in him. Didn't say be ye complete in him. You're already complete in him. Now, at this present moment, you're complete in him. As you and I, as I stand here and you sit there, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in which I believe you are, I believe that you're a believer in Christ, and so I come to you this morning to tell you that you are complete in Christ, that you might enjoy Christ spend your life glorifying Christ because you're complete in him. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can add to or take from to make it any better. Now, it's now ye are complete in Christ. At this present moment, at this minute, 20 minutes after 10 o'clock, ye are complete in Christ. Now, do not think that you want anything in yourself to make you complete in Christ. Well, if I would pray more, if I would give more, if I would be more Christ-like, would not this somehow add to my standing before God in Christ? Ye are full, complete, and perfect in Christ, who is your head right now. Now, right now. 20-some minutes after 10 o'clock. You're perfect in Christ, being one with him, one in him. All his perfection is yours. Here's the joy and the comfort of faith. You see, when a man comes to a realization through the teaching of the Word and the leadership of the Spirit, making revelation to his heart as to his standing in Christ, his perfection in Christ, that is his joy and comfort of faith. When he comes to that point in his experience, that he is perfect in the Lord Jesus, complete in the Lord Jesus. He's completely clothed. He's completely dressed. He is complete in all the requirements. That's the comfort of faith. You see, faith gives glory to Christ. Man says, I'm saved by faith in Christ. Faith does not save us. Faith connects us to him who does save us. True faith gives glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this religious world that we live in and hear about practically every hour of every day, about the religion of this world, they say they have faith in Christ, but their faith does not glorify Christ. Their faith glorifies themselves in what they do or what they don't do to make up their salvation. But faith, true faith, gives glory to Christ, who is the author and the object of their faith, which is, by the way, a gift of God. It leaves all works behind. When a man comes to this knowledge, this revelation, that Paul says you're complete in Christ, you're perfect in Christ, then faith leaves all works behind. Faith does not bring works to Christ as a additive to his salvation, something that he adds to it. No, it leaves all works behind. It finds all perfection in Christ. This faith works by love to all good works. Not to get perfection by good works, but to glorify Christ in whom we are already perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Since I've said that, let me ask a question. This is the question which I have partially answered. But in what sense are all believers complete in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, they are completely righteous in Christ. We talked about that already. Holy brethren, we are as holy as God can make us holy, because our holiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us perfectly holy in Christ. We are complete. There is nothing needed apart from the holiness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are perfectly righteous in Christ, and we are perfectly accepted and fully justified before God, and in him, Christ alone. Notice what it says here in the book of Ephesians. I think in chapter 1, when I say that we're perfectly righteous in Christ, perfectly accepted and fully justified before God in him, in verse 6, listen to this. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, perfectly righteous in Christ, perfectly accepted and fully justified before God in Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us. We did not make ourselves accepted in Christ. He made us accepted in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Isn't that something? Verse 14. Who is the inheritance of, who is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory? We never can be more complete in righteousness than what we are right now. Never can. If we live to be 95 years old, like the grandmother of Brad's wife, Pam, if we live to be 95 years old and live every day in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be made more righteous and more complete and more accepted and more perfect. We are as perfect as God can make us because we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does He make us this way? By abolishing sin. Sin is made an end of. Sin is done away with. And we are not presented unto God in ourselves, but we are presented unto God in His Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we were put in Christ. We were put in Christ before the world ever was. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are made and presented as Christ is before God. That is, if Christ is without spot and without wrinkle, then we are without spot and without wrinkle, without blemish, in Christ, here and there. Now, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, the Scriptures say, Christ hath by one offering perfected them forever. All them that are sanctified. Let me read something to you here from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, not hope to be sanctified, or we're not admonished to do something in order to gain sanctification. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Then down in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Ye are complete in Christ. Ye are perfected in Christ forever, them that are sanctified. Forever. Verse 17. And their sins that are pardoned and forgiven, that he made an end of, will I remember no more. By one offering, he's perfected them forever, all that are sanctified. Now that sanctification there means they are separated by the love of God the Father from eternity past, and separated by God the Spirit to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ here in time. Made righteous through the offering of the Lord Jesus forever. Made perfect forever in him. Made free from the guilt and the shame of sin. Made free from that punishment of sin which the law of God requires. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ makes perfect, that is, pertaining to a man's conscience. Their hearts are sprinkled with his precious blood from the evil and the guilt of an evil conscience. We're made accepted in the blood. We're complete in him. I'm not trying to be saved. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm already saved and complete in him. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm not trying to be righteous in order to gain God's favor. I'm already righteous, and Christ has already gained his favor, and I stand in him. So the aim of Paul in writing to the church of Colossae is for them to clearly have this understanding of truth so they can glorify God's Christ and enjoy God's Christ. And that's my aim here this morning, that you might know it. You might have this knowledge of it. Throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul to the churches, he talks about this, that we are to aspire after this knowledge, the knowledge of God, who he is, who his son is, and what his son's done, and so forth. And when we find out that the debt that the demands of the law has been fully satisfied. All that the law demands has been satisfied, and the debt is paid. Now, if God himself is to justify the sinner, which is in the justification of God, he's clear from all guilt and all sin, has a perfect righteousness, perfect standing before God. Now, the law is satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the law. Every jot and every tittle of it, satisfied. Law had no claim on it. If you're in Christ, the law had no claim on you. The debt is paid. Paid in full. If God himself is to justify the sinner who has broken God's holy law, he can only justify that sinner on the ground that the penalty which the law demands has been fully paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. That's what I believe, and that's what I preach. You're complete in him. Complete in him. Now, does that understanding of that make you want to go out and commit adultery? Does that make you want to take your fling and sin? Does that make you want to just be slothful? Certainly not. It does the opposite. To know that God hath freely justified you in his presence forever by the one offering of the Lord Jesus Christ makes you so indebted to him, to his love and to his mercy and to his grace and to his person, that you want to live to glorify him. Live to glorify his name, to lift up his name. I get so vexed at times when I hear people talking about salvation and leaving a bad taste in my mouth when they talk about having to do something to gain the favor of God by their work. Salvation is free as the air. It's free to any person under the sun. Race, religion, or color, or what have you. It's open to him whom God has made sensitive to his sin, whereby he knows that he hath offended God by his sin. When he knows that, the love of God in Christ will be shed abroad in his heart. And he'll come to see what I'm talking about this morning. That ye once were this, but now you're in Christ. Well, the Lord bless us here this morning with these precious scriptures that I have read to you, made comment on, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ.